in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 193 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm very, very good.
We've got our non-alcoholic beers and we're ready to go.
I'm drinking a non-alcoholic wheat beer and you're drinking a...
non-alcoholic Beck's Blue Lemon. It actually tastes really nice, but...
yeah.
Non-alcoholic beer, it's a bit of a weird concept really, isn't it? I'd be happy with a glass of orange juice. But it is nice, I appreciate the gesture.
Yeah, yeah. It's like cold out the fridge.
Is it a bit like an electronic cigarette in some ways? It's like just it's a crutch.
No, electronic cigarettes actually have nicotine.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
you won't get high on that.
I'm trying. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. If you happen to be new to the show and you've managed to get through the first 54 seconds of kind of chit chat, welcome to the show. There's plenty more of this. You can actually get all previous 192 episodes via that website, and there's a blog post for all of them as well. So we've covered pretty much every topic, although we're not going to run out of things
ever to talk about. You can't do that.
Not in this crazy world where things are happening. There's news alerts coming in on my watch every 10 minutes telling me what Mr. Trump's done this time.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many things to talk about.
It's all kicking off, but it's good fun. Also, if you have a look at the website, you can subscribe to our newsletter to get some free meditation files and a few other bits and bobs. We'll send you weekly alerts as soon as the show goes online as well, so you'll never miss one, unless you really want to. And check out 123 Friday, which you'll see on the podcast pages, which is a little partnership we've got going. It's a great little app that will help you back up all your photos and videos from your phone for a small annual fee, and we get a nice little return on that as well.
It all helps.
Yeah. How are you doing? You okay? What you been up to?
I'm very good. I am working on the apps that we will be bringing out later this year.
Oh, I know. We've kind of threatened this stuff for ages, but we're actually making a bit of progress.
It's actually happening now.
We've got an Apple developer account or something that.
Yep. It's all starting to happen.
Yeah.
So we will be there. But there's it's the setting up all the operating systems, you know, like standard operating procedures to get the apps right, is the thing.
SOPs, yeah. We did used to have one of those for the podcast when we were supposed to go through it before every show and make sure that our phones were switched off and that yada, yada, yada. But we just kind of dive in now.
You just answer your phone as you go along.
Easy peasy. Yeah, I know there's a lot going on. It's cool. And we're talking this week about purpose, which is kind of related to what you just said. We have our own little mission statements for living the present and in our personal lives, which we might come on to shortly, but purpose in general is not something that everyone has or feel they have a grasp on in their everyday lives, really.
Well, I work with so many people that feel so bored. They're not doing what they want to do with their life.
It's an easy trap to kind of fall into, isn't it? And the kind of, the first world problems you've got.
So what are you doing in your life? You've skipped that. So you're not following the operating procedure, are you? That's what it is.
Yeah, well, I'm in that kind of crazy parenthood mode at the moment, you know, where it's full on hands on dad stuff.
Your brain
stuff.
Ends up like mashed potatoes.
Exactly. So it's like morning till once I've ditched the little fella at school and or with grandparents, I've got them dressed and all that stuff. It's off to work for a bit of rest and relaxation, and answering emails and building websites. And then it starts again at 4:30, 5:00.
Yeah.
Frantically feeding them, bathing them, getting them to bed. That's my mission at the moment, is trying to raise two little suitably weird, you know, little boys that are kind of interested in the world and can, go out there and do their own thing at some point. But so I'm in love with that, really. That's my main job in life at the moment.
It's good.
Yeah. What about you?
It's good. Well,
you found your purpose.
My purpose is just getting out of bed in the morning, because I think that's where this podcast starts, is just everybody that's listening to this, wind back to when you woke up this morning. What happened? No, did you wake up thinking, wow, and leaping out of bed? Did you wake up thinking, oh, my God, not again?
Yeah, with the rain battering against the windows. Yeah. And
because that's the thing, isn't it? That if your life is purposeful and meaningful for you, then you wake up energised to get on with the next bit.
Even if the rain is battering against the windows,
yeah, you kind of... It's just another challenge in life.
Just to kind of, yeah, push through and get on with.
And I think that is probably the trick, is that when you start looking at what's the meaning of life, if people are waking up and they're not feeling the excitement of getting out of bed and getting on with it, then life's not right.
Yep.
You know, and that's when the adjustments need to be made to get your mojo back.
Yeah, and we don't have to go too over-the-top Americanized kind of yippee-ki-yay.
Well, I do.
Well, you do. But, I mean, in the sense that we don't all have to be Richard Branson or Bill Gates, and we don't all have to want to cure AIDS or finally...
No, I always come back to this. If you wake up with a smile on your face, go to bed with a smile on your face, you've done it.
Exactly. Yeah, purpose doesn't have to be kind of flying to the moon at some before the age of 50 or climbing all 7 summits in the world. I mean, 7 summits of each continent. I mean, if that's your thing, cool. If not, you know, it can be super simple. It could just be kind of looking after, making sure all the lonely elderly folk in your area are kind of looked after and knocking on doors.
Yeah.
Who knows
The trick is, does it feel good?
Yeah.
That's when you've got purpose. Mm-hmm. And life becomes meaningful. There is a reason to be alive.
Yeah.
It gets desperate when people lose the meaning, lose the point. What's the point?
Yeah, and I've got 2 little lads, obviously, that are kind of great teachers for me in the sense that they're kind of, they give a direct readout. They do wake up just buzzing. Like, you know, obviously they're sufficiently rested because they get 11 hours sleep every night. Sometimes a little bit broken and kind of they're kind of running through to our room and just for no particular reason. But they wake up in the morning and they are ready to go, man. And it's like they're coming through and they're like, Daddy, Daddy, wake up. Come on, come on, come on, do this, do that.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, William's 5 now and he's kind of sort of got that little slight teenage tendency, kind of just wants to kind of be given the iPad and just kind of chill out for a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, no, he's raring to go, man. He knows what he wants to do with his day.
Yeah.
So at some stage we all have the... Well, not all of us, but a lot of us will kind of slip into that pattern as we kind of hit adolescence where enthusiasm for life, which is undoubtedly an incredible thing, whether you're religious or not, spiritual, being alive is just the most mind-blowingly cool thing. It's beyond any comprehension, really. But a lot of us kind of forget that, don't we?
I think when you're little, everything is so exciting. You know, the first time you see a cat or a dog or a budgerigar or something, it's the newness of things.
Yeah.
And that's what, when people get tarnished.
Well, when we walk up to our house, we have to walk past a couple of houses, and there's usually a cat in one of the windows just kind of sitting there. And Jacob, my 2-year-old, I'll point to the cat and say, oh, Jacob, cat, and he'll be like, his face will light up. Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
Whereas Will, 5... He doesn't get excited by it anymore.
It's just a cat.
Yeah, big deal, Dad.
So,
you know, we don't have to get excited about cats in windows all the time. But you can still appreciate the kind of...
Yeah.
Something about it, can't you?
I suppose it's finding what is your cat in your window.
Mm.
What's the thing that fires you up?
Yeah.
And that's what people tend not to find. And I think people get hampered by their parents... and the limitations their parents put on them.
Yep.
By education. I know it's not popular, especially when we both have teachers around us, but it's like education very often is about suppressing people's creativity. It's about creating the next workforce. It's not about fulfilling people.
There's a TED Talk there I need to stick in the show notes again.
Yeah.
Sir Ken Robinson.
There's the issues of culture, religion, ethnicity, there are all kinds of things that can form limits around us, and they limit our expectations, but they also limit our beliefs or our ideas about what it is that we could do. You might think, oh God, I couldn't possibly do that. Why not?
Yep.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. But very often, you know, like when we were doing the courses and we'd say to people, what do you really, 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 really want? And then people would say, well, I want to be happy. And that's not enough. It's not enough just to want to be happy. What is it that would make you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, what does it look like, feel like, taste like?
Happiness isn't a tangible thing, isn't it? Happiness is something that is a result of hard work or working towards a goal. It's not even the goal often, the goal isn't happiness, is it? It's kind of that work in between where the real pleasure comes from.
Yeah.
Sense of satisfaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then, not all of us know what the goal is, so that's why we ran the course and we have the Living the Present book.
I'm going to use this book as my resource.
Mm-hmm.
You know John Gray that wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus? He's written on the front of this cover, Chris and Janet Atwood have provided a clear, simple and effective method to help you identify your core passions so that you can create the fulfilling life that you deserve. And I think that that is the issue. That was the thing that came out of the 10 steps that we were doing, is the amount of people that didn't know what they wanted.
Mm.
Yeah, they didn't know what fired their passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't know what to do to find their passion. And books like this, I mean, The Secret has had a load of publicity and air and creates kind of expectations of things. What a book like this does is it makes you dig deeper into yourself to kind of examine yourself. So it's step number one for them.
Have you said the title of the book yet, so people can...
Oh, right, it's called The Passion Test.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Which is pretty good, right.
Yeah.
So step one is first make a list of 10 of the most important things that you can think that would give your life joy and passion, right? And then turn them into words that would be a verb so you can fulfill this sentence. So when my life is ideal, I am. Yeah, so it may be that one of the things you thought was money. So it would be, when my life is ideal, I am, you know, rich and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you start to look at what is it that makes you feel good, that's the key. That's the key to finding a purpose, what makes you feel good.
Mm.
And if making you feel good is to save all the poor of some far-flung country, then go and do it.
Yep.
You know, if it's to make loads of dosh, go and do it. Yeah, it's all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Do you know what your passion is?
It's not exactly. I don't think it's something I can really put my finger on yet. I'm still searching for that. Well, I say one thing, but maybe it doesn't have to be one thing. It could be hundreds of things, couldn't it? You know, I'm kind of halfway, a third of the way through my life. I think I've been doing all right so far, but maybe I do need to kind of drill down and narrow things down.
I think that my passions aren't that many, and they're quite simple in some ways, but they give me joy. So working with other people does that.
Yep.
Playing music does that. Writing does that. Traveling, driving to Italy. You know, that kind of stuff does that.
Yep.
And being with Ree is a real joy. That's amazing. You know, and when we get time together and we have time to actually be with each other, which isn't actually that much, you think we'd have loads, is really good. You know, that gives me purpose and joy. It's those things that make me smile, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Duh. That's nice.
And you ever had this where you've done it where you create stuff? It's like sometimes I can write something and read it back a couple of years later and think, oh, that's interesting. You know, like it was written by someone else. Do you ever do that with your creative work? Do you ever look at it and think, wow, that's amazing?
I do. Yeah. I do quite often. If I get a spare minute or two, or you know, I'll dive into one of the folders on my laptop from archived work from many moons ago and think, wow, flip it. Often I'll think, oh, what the heck, that's horrendous, but quite often I'll think, yeah, that's pretty good, because it was all little iterations and steps that got me to where I am now, really, isn't it?
So yeah.
Even the rubbish looking stuff in terms of posters or websites, that I can still, I try not to look and get too embarrassed about stuff, because it's
that's weird that you could do that.
Yeah.
You look at them as, I suppose, as we progress, we're going to say, well, that you can't look at them as being rubbish because they were
important the photo,
at the time.
I get reminded of on every day on the Time Hop app on my phone of tweets and Instagram pickies from, you know, going up to 7-8 years ago now. So yeah, in terms of my photographic skills, I'll look back and think, oh, what was I thinking there? But you know, yeah, all those photos still capture a moment that will bring kind of some kind of interesting thought into my head.
The
blog post that you sent to me to kick this off is on newscientist.com, and it does actually mention in the podcast that apart from just kind of purpose gives, you know, that warm, fuzzy, happy feeling, it can also help to prevent heart attack, strokes, staves off dementia, can help with your sleep, even better sex life and kind of longevity. You can live longer.
But you see, what I think that to me is saying is that when you have a purpose, you're actually living your life. When you don't have a purpose, you're in decline, and that decline will express itself physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, once you're engaged in things, the fact that it makes you get up and move around is going to make you healthier.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of stuff. If you spend your life sat on a sofa drinking beers and watching telly, you know, then your life's not going to go anywhere.
No, you know? But get a watch like this and it'll remind you 10 minutes before the hour to get up and walk around for a bit.
But that's interesting. Do you think that, because I mean, I'm wearing a Fitbit, you're wearing an Apple Watch,
mm-hmm.
and both of them tell us things, tell us what we've done, what we ought to do.
Yeah.
So do you think that they help to create purpose, do you think?
Purpose itself, wow, that would be... I think they can indirectly, I guess. You know, I mean, this is obviously trying to increase my... how much physical exercise, how much I'm moving around. So that in itself will just raise energy levels, won't it? And,
yeah.
I mean, the stats don't speak for themselves in terms of since I've had this watch, I've had a much more better understanding of how much I would sit around, especially if I work from home all day. You know, there can be hours before I could stand up, or I would stand up, like hardly burning any calories and quite a lethargic lifestyle. Since I've had this, I have been moving around more and I feel more energetic in life generally, but yeah. It's hard for me to prove that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I think that it can even be things like if your watch says to you, you know, you haven't done enough exercise, so you go and do some more steps. And so you go for a walk. If you go for a walk, you go out and you see things and you do things and maybe you meet people.
Yep.
So that your world of experience is expanding all the time.
Yep.
You know, so I think that indirectly it can affect our experience and our purpose. You know.
Definitely. But then even an energetic person doesn't guarantee, it's not a guarantee of having purpose in your life. It might increase your chances of it because you kind of, you're just generally interacting more with the world. Yep.
Mind you, some people might be using activity as a way of avoiding something.
I
mean, so you could, it could turn in on itself.
Could do, yeah. I did read an article which I'll try and dig out in the show notes, or you can Google it, about how there's a link between people that post their activities to Facebook in terms of they've just been for a run, here's my map and here's what I've done, or more, they tend to be more narcissistic type people.
Yeah.
Narcissists. Yeah, it's quite interesting little.
Yeah.
You know, the people that actually studied it wasn't just kind of a off the cuff thing. But
yeah, but I think generally people that believe that the rest of the world needs to know, you know, just going to the loo, you know, can't decide whether to put more salt in the stew, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like people can live their world through Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it is that meaningful or purposeful in the end.
Mm. There's a blog post I found, stevepavlina.com, which I'll stick in the show notes again, but it's the catchy title for it is How to Discover Your Life Purpose in About 20 Minutes. And it just gives you a little, basically just saying, get out a pen and paper and follow these steps and you'll have a good chance of figuring out what it is you are, where you should be headed.
I think that it comes down to, you know, the rule of thumb is your purpose in life is going to be things or a thing that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you get your head around that and you start to log into things that make you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you got a chance of getting there.
Even the step, even the that step of just trying harder to find your purpose, look for it, searching for it, is better than not.
Yeah.
Even if you don't find it, you might spend the next 10 years thinking really hard.
Yeah.
About
trying different things,
positive things. That in itself is kind of purpose, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess.
And for some people, you know, the idea of the fool on the hill, you know, the guy that sits there meditating on the hill and does nothing other than just observe the world going round.
Yeah.
You know, and that can be a purpose in itself. You know, one of the things that you learn in doing that whole kind of self-development stuff is nothing is too big or too small. Nothing is better or worse. It just is what it is. And just because someone else wants to own a fleet of aircraft or something, you know, and you just want a little car around the corner, it doesn't mean that their aims are any greater than yours. They're just different.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Just the sense, I've been following the political landscape a little closer than I probably should have over the last few months, but I get the sense really that humanity, maybe just in the West, we've lost our sense of purpose as nations, as kind of groups of people. You know, there's kind of this whole left versus right thing at the moment, which is, you know, Brexit has split the UK, Trump has split America. Could be about to happen in France in their election soon. It's like we've both gone off in like different directions. One's a bit more inclusive, wanting the world to come together. The other is right. Enough of that. Let's just kind of, you know, we'll still talk to our neighbours, but let's just, you know, pull down the barriers.
Yeah.
So how can we overcome that as kind of on a more international scale, humanity in general, if our purposes diverge like that?
I think that it's part of the social cycle. And I think that we're going through something that will affect the future generations that we don't realise yet. If it works according to the pundits that are supposed to know these things, that we end up in a situation in like 100 years' time, maybe 200 years' time, where people are starting to take more responsibility for themselves, and they're not relying on other institutions or religions or philosophies to do it for them. That people are being self-generating rather than, so the image would be that people are functioning from the inside out rather than the outside in.
Okay.
That kind of thing. But who knows? We'll just have to drop back here in 100 years and check out how
it's doing. Well, we'll still be doing the podcast then.
In 100 years, yeah.
Yeah, episodes, I can't figure out, 10,644.
Yeah, and a half.
Yeah. We'll still be here. Because I was chatting with a pal, actually, who's on the other side of the debate to me. He's a vote leaver and all that, and he's kind of quite intrigued by what Trump's doing. So I was chatting with him on WhatsApp. Very civilised little discussion about where he sees things going and what have you, and what he's playing out with all these retweets he's giving out. But he's actually said in the end he's worried about the future for his son. He's just had a lad as well, fairly recently. And I am too. But, you know, his version of what the future should be for his boy and what it should be for mine is completely different. So it's interesting.
Well, I would like us to do a podcast on right-wing fascist kind of attitude, and I thought I had a self-proclaimed right-wing fascistic kind of person to come on the podcast, but it's weird because although he holds a very strong views, he seems a bit kind of embarrassed that other people should know that he holds those views.
It's funny, isn't it?
So he's kind of going to ground on it. But I thought we had a good podcast going.
It's the shy Tory effect, isn't it? Where, you know, all the opinion polls up to the last general election were saying it was going to be hung parliament, probably another coalition. But they call it the shy Tory effect, because people, in some ways, you know, aren't, when they get asked the question, who are you going to vote for, they'll just say, oh, not sure, or they won't say conservative. Then comes to it on the day, and there's this little nudge to the right.
Yeah.
Because people are, you know, and, you know, they're kind of valid concerns. People are, you know, worried about things they're seeing in the news and all that.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but...
Yeah.
Hey-ho.
Yeah, only time's going to tell on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting a few years, a few decades, or who knows, but, yeah. Who knows? Have you got a resource of the week?
Well, my resource is the book.
Sorry,
It's Janet and Chris Atwood, and it's called The Passion Test.
The Passion Test.
And it's a good one.
Cool.
So it's a workbook. Although it's a book. There's lots of exercises in it that you have to do.
Okay.
And they make you think. That's good. It's a good book.
That's a good start then. All right. Mine is a series of TED Talks playlist. Talks to help you find your purpose, which I thought was quite relevant to this week's show. So there's seven TED Talks on there, which you can have a look at. Comes some quite inspiring stories. One actually is by a guy called Scott Dinsmore, Live Your Legend, who died last year, 2 years ago. And he left behind this blog where he built up quite a following of people trying to live their legends, find their purpose. So he kind of died doing something he loved. He was climbing a mountain in Kilimanjaro.
An accident?
Rockfall. Took him out. He's left behind his legacy, and he was doing something he loved, so...
Yeah.
He's a good example to us.
I know it's easy to say it, but I think that to kind of go whilst you're doing something that you're passionately engaged in is a good way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was my age and all that. So
a young chap.
Youngest chap.
Yeah.
Ish. Am I young? Yeah, I'm still...
You're not middle-aged yet.
Not quite. A few years. All right. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for the show notes and links. There were quite a few this week. All the previous episodes as well. Dive in and have a look. Sign up to the newsletter, and we'll let you know about the next show as soon as it's online. And check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. And until then...
And let's hear it for Bavaria 0% alcohol wheat beer.
Woo! And Beck's Blue Lemon alcohol free.
Yeah. Do you think they'll give us... Cheers. Do you think they'll give us some free samples for that?
I think so, yeah. That's a new sponsor. Do you reckon? Right. I'll see you next week, John.
Mm-hmm.
See you later.